Good morning. I see y'all got here, even though there was fog out there today. This is the portion where we show our gratitude to God for all the wonderful things that He gives us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God and for Your provision and for Your protection. We thank You that we don't have to earn the things that You give us by Your grace. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. There ran all my papers. It was Brass the Bear or something came on here. I've got some things to hold this day. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is do a few announcements that I need to get out of the way. First one has to do with the conference in Houston, the Schaefer Conference, and that lasts Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So Tuesday, if you see under announcements, there will be no Bible class Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024. And then we're going to go to where we have these, see all these squares here? The bottom right one has the Schaefer Conference. It has information for that. And I was told don't click there because it will not do good. It takes a while anyway. Anyway, you click on that and it brings up this. This is the information on the Schaefer Conference. And you see in the red where it says all sessions will be live streamed and it's underlined. If you want to watch them, then you can just click or just push on that live stream and then everything will come up. And then you have other information on this as well. So that's the Schaefer Conference. It goes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Tim is, there's some of these printed in the library, so you can take them with you and you'll get more information. So, okay, we're good to go with that. All right. I'll turn this off for right now. Okay, this morning we are gathered together here to partake of the Lord's Supper, also called the Eucharist and the Communion, knowing that the purpose for the Lord's is focusing on remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who was qualified to save us to begin with, and He's the only one that could could go to the cross and pay for our sins. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Some of what I'm going to cover this morning was taken from a message that was given by Dr. Reagan. His name is David Reagan. And he spoke last Sunday at Sugarland Bible Church. And his topic was America's Destiny. It's on the Sugarland Bible Church website, and that's sugarlandbiblechurch.org. And I encourage you to go there and watch it. It's very good. And I'll be taking some of the things that I'm going to be presenting to you this morning from what he gave in that message. So the first thing we're going to do, see if I can get this up here, get this ready for you. From the beginning. Okay. So I have some PowerPoints that we're going to go through this morning. And the first one has to do with church signs. You know, kind of signs they put out in front of the church with some kind of information on it. And I got these from Dr. Reagan as well. So the first one is, gradually, the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, then praised. And that is exactly what has happened to us. If you want God to bless America, stop legalizing sin. And then there's one more. Normal is not coming back. Jesus is. And you can say amen to that for sure. Let me see something here. I'm going to be turning that off and back on because... It's playing tricks on me this morning. I just hit escape. That'll do it. Okay. Oh, well, I should have stayed there because we have another quote here. It's hard to communicate with this and my notes as well, but... we'll see. I'm on the wrong page. I want to go here. And go to here. Oh, it's still on the same one. I'm sorry about the confusion here. We'll start by slideshow here. Okay, we already saw these. I forgot that there's one more left. Todd Starnes, you may have seen him before. He's a writer, I believe, a journalist. He said, "We don't need more Americans bowing down to the Democratic donkey or the Republican elephant. What we need more Americans bowing down to the line of Judah." I think that would make a big difference if we did that. Where's Vidal? Where? Oh, can you come up here just a second? This happened to me once before. When I'm on the PowerPoint, it's showing it, and I want to close it, and I... Or just go...
Let's hit escape.
Wait, let me look at this one for a second. Okay, now we'll go over here. Okay, we can stay there then. I'll have to go back to there because when I'm up here, it doesn't do right. Okay. I guess I just go to escape each time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Here's the next slide for us. Many, if not most, believers are talking a lot about politicians and politics, but not many are talking about Jesus Christ and the Bible. Christians have the right to engage in politics and to vote, but we are to put our trust in the Lord, not in politicians. Amen to that. Here's a few verses. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Couldn't get it more clear than that. Verse 9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And when I see princes, I see politicians there. Psalm 62:9, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances, they go up. Now, when it's talking about the balances, you've all seen this way that you used to measure weight. There's a main pole and a thing that goes across, and then these two things are hanging down, and you put whatever you're going to weigh. And one will go up, and one will go down. And the one that goes up is the lightest. And so that's what it's talking about when it says, and men of rank are a lie, in the balances they go up, they are altogether, or they together, lighter than breath. So the Bible doesn't put much faith in those who are men of rank associated with lies. Now this is something I put in my book, Tolerating Tyranny. These all were on one page, and it was the first thing they saw when they got to the first pages. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's Psalm 33:12. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Very true. Okay. Yeah, I think that's where we're going next. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save our country. The question is, why would he deliver a country that has turned his back on him and is outright rebellion against him? Good question. Here's a quote from America's Suicide. This is a book from David Reagan. And this quote underneath here is he got from his book, America's Suicide. God destroys a nation that he has blessed when its rebellion becomes entrenched, reaching a point of no return. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12 through 13 says, for thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable and your injury is serious. Verse 13, there is no one to plead your cause, no healing for your sore, no recovery for you. This is when God abandons a nation that He has blessed, and over time they have turned their back on Him and rebelled against Him. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, and I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brothers, all of the offspring of Ephraim. As for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. That should put shivers through your spine, because that's where we are. He will not put up with such things. I'm going to turn this off for a moment, and I know that I can get over here. The scriptures use the term an incurable wound. That's found in Nahum 3:19 as well as other places, to describe when a nation reaches a point of no return. And I'll go back to our thing now. Okay, so I need to get over to here. And Jeremiah. Okay, got that. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12 through 13 says, for thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable, and your injury is serious. There is no one to plead your case, no healing for your sore, no recovery from you. Well, this is the one I just went over. And I want to go to slide show. Okay. I got that. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. It's too long for us to go through, but this is what it's about. Certain nations had reached the point of no return, and no one could deliver them from being destroyed. Nahum verses, Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. I'm not ready for that one yet. How about that? Okay. Now I can go to my notes. Deuteronomy chapter 28 shows the blessings that that God gives man, and there's many of them, if he diligently obeys the Lord. But it also shows that the curses man receives if he does not obey the Lord. And there's 53 verses in that chapter that describe the horrible suffering of those who disobey the Lord. I suggest you just write somewhere so you'll remember Deuteronomy 28 and read it. And the Lord means business. And the things that happen, we see, are happening with us. Okay. Got a another verse here. I need to get over on this. By the time they come up with something else that's better than this, is when I'll finally figure out how to use all this and smooth it. Then I have something else to try to find out. Come on. There it comes. Okay. Well, this isn't the one that I wanted. I don't have it in there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to clean that out. I guess I'll just have to read it without putting it up here. It's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. Deuteronomy 28, verse 20 is a verse that has to do with what the Lord does to those who disobey Him. Deuteronomy 28:20. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. That is a typical verse in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. God blessed our beloved country from its beginning, starting by giving the colonists victory over the most powerful country in the world, and of course, that was Great Britain. The Declaration of Independence is unique, stating that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that was never heard of before. And still, we are the only country that recognizes that our rights come from the Lord and not from government. God poured out His blessings upon us with unparalleled freedom and prosperity. However, by the last half of the 20th century, we turned our back on God and money became our new God. People started thinking, if they had enough money, they really didn't need God any longer. We also became arrogant, thinking that we were a superpower that no longer needed to trust in God. You will find in God we trust on our money, but you certainly will not find it in the hearts of the people. Many were motivated by greed. Here are some of the things that we went down this into. What I was doing there is showing you when we obey God, we were Christian, a nation as that was what we were founded on. Then the perversion of homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexuality, and transsexuality became acceptable. We have legalized same-sex marriage. That was in 2015, and I still remember it, how every one of the governors got on the air, and they said, well, they're not really for it, but the Supreme Court has ruled, so we have to abide by it. As if when the Supreme Court makes an opinion, they take it as law, and they are part of the lawmakers. Gambling became our national pastime. We became the largest consumer of illegal drugs in the world. We have become the number one country in immorality, particularly with how we are taking this, what is it called, transgenderism. And what they're doing to children and so forth is just, they're trying to pan that around the globe for other countries to do the same. Education turned into indoctrination, including the fantasy of evolution. God has been faithful over the years in giving us various wake-up calls to get our attention. The Vietnam War occurred on the heels of the sexual revolution in the 60s and 70s. 9/11 occurred in 2001, attacking the symbol of our wealth and our power. The symbol of our wealth was the two towers, and the symbol of our power was the Pentagon. Both hit, and it wasn't by accident. Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast in 2005, warning us about our immorality and the Bush administration forcing of Israel to abandon the Gaza Strip, which had taken over, was taken over by terrorists. It was actually one of the head Jews was in power, and he was motivated to have the people of Israel who lived in the Gaza Strip, and he took the military and forcibly removed them so that the Palestinians could take over. And the first thing they did was elect the Hamas, and they've been there ever since. So it hit on the last day of the withdrawal of the Gaza Strip and at the beginning of the homosexual festival in New Orleans. Again, not just a coincidence. The September 2008 stock market crash, which fell 777 points. We were pushing Israel to give up her heartland for so-called peace. Remember those things? God gives us the leaders we deserve. President Obama was the most pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-capitalist, anti-Israel president than all the presidents that preceded him. And it's no accident that Joe Biden picked up right where he left off. One of the most powerful things that can happen to us hasn't happened yet, and it is the total collapse of our economy. The recent spending spree of the fools who are currently in charge have made our economy a house of cards that may fall at any moment. And then I close on this one. And it's on the thing here. There it is. Let's see if I should. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 through 16. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by His messengers. This is what's happened over and over again in the Old Testament. God would send His people to warn of the coming calamity if they stayed the course that they were on, which was disobedient to God. And so, God of their fathers sent word to them again and again by His messengers, mainly the prophets, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. He had compassion for the people. Verse 16, but they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against him, against His people, until there was no remedy. That is what we're facing ourselves right here over the long haul. We're now going to focus on the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, again, is mainly to remember Jesus Christ. And there are two symbols that do that. First of all, there is the bread that represents the body of Christ, which was absolutely sinless. And then we have the cup that represents His work on the cross. The unleavened bread represents His perfect body. When we say perfect, it's so perfect that he did not have a human father. If he had had a human father, he would have got the old sin nature. Thank you. I went blank on that. And so, how many people are in his class that don't have a father? Shows how unique he is. In John chapter 6, verse 47 through 51, it says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes out of heaven." And I think when he said this, when he said, "This is the bread that comes down out of heaven," I think he was pointing to himself. "This is the bread that comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then we have the cup. And of course, the cup represents the Jesus Christ being our substitute on the cross. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him." This would be John the Baptist. "And said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" All the animal sacrifices did not take away one sin. It just put them on hold until Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God, would go to the cross and take away our sins. He took care of our sin problem there. Anyone can eat and anyone can drink. Eating the bread and drinking from the cup is a public declaration that you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and no one or nothing else. You don't have to be a member of Country Bible Church in order to partake of this Lord's Supper, because you're already a member of the Universal Church. And what we must do, though, before we begin, is to make sure that we don't have any unconfessed sins floating around somewhere, because we're going to name those sins, and God moves them as far as the east is from the west. So we need to do that now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and honored to be able to remember Jesus Christ in this special way. And we pray that you will flood our minds with all that we can think of, what he's done for us and will do for us. And we pray it in his name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripe we are healed. The night before our Lord was to be crucified, He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body that is given to you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to focus on the cup. We are the royal family of God, and when we all are concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ, then He gets the glory and the praise. We pray this in His name. Amen. It is customary to retain the cup until all have been served. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And He, God the Father, has laid upon Him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. On the same occasion, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." We will stand and sing hymn number 258, softly on the third verse, crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand as we sing. Seated. I want to remind everyone to know that you're welcome and invited to our dinner that's going to be immediately following the service. And I don't care whether you brought any food or not. That doesn't make any difference. I know some people say, well, I didn't bring it. We don't care. We've got enough food to feed all Brenham. And so you need to be with the fellowship. It's a great time of fellowship, and the food is great. So I hope that you will stay. The last portion of this service has to do with those who are listening, watching, and they don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. In fact, they're quite concerned about that, but they try not to think about it. But there's good news. There's no reason for us to fret, no reason for us to be worried, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when He went to the cross, took care of your sin problem and my sin problem, problem of the whole world's sin problem, because He satisfied the justice of God. He was buried, and now He rose from the grave, and He offers the gift of eternal life to anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him and no one else. Also, He has imputed to us God's own righteousness. So when God looks at us, even though we're sinners, He sees His own righteousness. It also means that your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. And it doesn't have anything to do with good works. In fact, that is the main issue nearly every time, is there are so many people that think that they can merit entrance into heaven by doing their good works. And good works are an abomination to God when we try to use them in order to satisfy His justice, because it can't happen. It's impossible. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we are part of the royal family because of Your grace. We thank You that we have a relationship with You that will last forever. We're not part of the ones that will be separated from You for all eternity. Shivers goes down the spine of those who are even the thought of it. But it should inspire us in these dark times to give the gospel to people who desperately need to hear it. I think there are so many people out there that don't know what to do, and they're afraid and they're worried. But You can take us, use us to give them the good news, and then they too will join us in heaven. So we thank You for this time that we had together this morning and the fellowship dinner that comes next, and You get the glory. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen.